This podcast is a part of the Neuhoff Media Podcast Network.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Thursday, good morning and welcome. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf joins us at the same time every day to give a report on the health of the community and what is going on. Mayor, before I ask you anything, I don't know if you saw from the CDC they've released some information about these super spreaders, as they're called. And there was a story in Chicago about this where one guy, and he was unwitting, I mean, he didn't know, but he went to a funeral, a birthday party, like a barbecue, and he was a hugger, and now 16 people are infected and 3 dead.
Oh, no. I have not seen that.
This was just part of a study released by the CDC showing the impact of why stay-at-home matters so much. I mean, you don't – this guy didn't do anything wrong. He didn't know. He was not symptomatic. But because he was a very social person who, literally one person, 16 positives, 3 deaths, that's why this is so important.
And I think so many of us believe deep down that we're immune, and we're not. You know, the sheriff of Piatt County has been diagnosed.
Yeah.
He's isolating at home. And, you know, he's healthy. He's a, regular guy who's going to work protecting this community, and he's, now he's sick. And, we can't stress this enough, and it's hard, to wrap your arms around, but this is reality.
It is, and the new is going to be here for a while. Now, am I to make anything of the press release that was sent out yesterday by Police Chief Jim Getz?
Refresh me.
I'm sorry. You're right. 900 press releases later. It was a simple enough press release, but it was like saying, basically, we're asking you to comply. We're asking you to keep social distance. We're asking you to wear a mask. We don't want to have to enforce this. We're asking you to do the right thing. I think it was probably just a reinforcement sort of message.
Yeah, it is. We haven't taken stronger measures, and I say that yet. Here's the deal. We have done everything we can to inform the public, to try and get people to understand that this is serious. We're now talking life and death here. We have been all along, but it's really hard for people to understand. We've had a death here. Champaign has had a death. Effingham has had a death. This is just the beginning. And we're not anywhere close to a surge, even in Chicago and Illinois yet. But, we've done gentle reminders. We have, churches that weren't in compliance after the first weekend of services when the governor had said you can't do it. We went around and reminded and tried to inform pastors that, they're part of this too. They cannot do it. So we don't want to have to take extreme measures, but we've done things to take away I'm searching for a word, but the park district started by, wrapping up the playgrounds, and that didn't seem to do much. People just cut the tape. Then we had to take down the basketball hoops because people kept playing basketball, even though we go by and say, you really can't do that. The basketball court is closed. The tennis court is closed. We've had people playing without nets. We've had to go by and tell them, no, you can't. Go take a walk, enjoy the trails, enjoy the outdoors, but use social distancing, stay away. Well, we still have people congregating and not thinking about it. We've had some violence lately with shootings in the middle of the day. Large crowds are gathering, which, is a normal response, I guess, but that's not good for anybody, and you can't do it, and we're going to have to start, you don't want to crack down further. But I think the governor feels that same frustration. So we are trying to be good stewards of our community.
All right, let's get to the positives. 13 confirmed cases in Macon County. Is there a reason why the ages are now being withheld?
I don't have a good answer for you on that, except that, we're starting to see more and more numbers. So when you have one or two and you say it's, a man in his 60s and a woman in her 30s, it gets a little, when you start hitting all those numbers, it gets to be quite a lot. So I don't think there's any effort to, hide anything by any stretch of the imagination. But, Brian, I hate to predict bad things, but what's really probably we're going to see more of. We saw the outbreak at Fairhaven's nursing home, and the health department is contact tracing those employees. Some of them work in other places as well as Fairhaven. So they're tracking down who they've come into contact with. What will probably happen, where if you or I get this and we are relatively not exposed to very many people, it's not as big of a deal as people who live in congregate living facilities. And, you know, you see the sheriff of Piatt County getting sick. We've seen, I think it's Coles County that has a deputy and a couple of staff people, maybe. I don't know if they're in their jail or not. But, you know, our scariest places are where we have a lot of people that are in a contained environment. And if you look around Macon County, those are living facilities, both the independent living facilities, the, you know, nursing homes, the long-term care, the assisted living, and the jail. And those are our scary. Those are what keep us up at night, because you can't. We're not taking those people out of those places. You've got people going in and out, and those will be our hot spots. That's why we are doing. You know, I think that's the impetus for the chief putting out that release yesterday. Is we don't need any others. So you aren't going to be congregating, and whether it's in the parks or in the streets, we're going to disperse. You know, we're going to.
Yeah.
We're going to break you up and send you home.
No, listen, I'm absolutely in favor of maybe even going to the next step. I hope that the few don't take away what little freedom we have left as far as being able to get out and walk and do it responsibly and all that. Do we know any other test results out of the Fair Havens nursing home? I know that those, you said, were driven over to Springfield by Tanya Andrix. Do we have any other? I mean, do we know if any of these new positives are from that location?
I believe one was. But again, we're getting bigger numbers in, and things are pretty fluid. I was in back-to-back meetings all day yesterday, and not as on top of who was coming from where. But I guess because it's being handled at that one place. Had it been a different facility, it would raise a bigger alarm for us. So, you know, there was kind of an expectation in the beginning that if somebody like a resident at a facility has it, there's an expectation everybody else will too.
Okay.
Because, you know, that's just kind of how to handle it, because we're going to see some big numbers.
All right. So you guys had a meeting yesterday. I'm assuming, I'm not asking you to, divulge anything that was talked about privately, but have we worked out our communication lines?
Yeah, I think we're in much better shape. You know, it just processes everything, and our process broke down a bit this week, so we're really efforting, even if it's a minor thing, to make sure that everybody is communicating and where are we on this, and, you know, when something major happens, and we kind of walk through some worst-case scenarios, because there are things that are, if you will, more newsworthy than others. For example, if John Smith gets coronavirus and he is isolating at home or he is in one of the hospitals, that's a number for the most part, because John Smith probably is not one of those, you know, super carriers. However, if it is somebody, in the jail and you've got two corrections officers that are sick, or you've got an outbreak in one of the trods, then that is, if you will, more newsworthy, because it's a bigger, scarier problem to handle. Because a person here that can isolate at home, or a person there that is in the hospital, will be taken care of. But if we've got our hands full with, you know, potentially not just four or five people in the jail, but an entire part of the jail or the jail in itself, those are the things that can overwhelm the healthcare system. You know, they can take up all the beds in a minute if they are all in intensive care. Now, we're taking measures that we can to keep the jailers safe, to keep the inmates safe, to keep people in long-term care facilities safe. And along that line, just a quick sidebar, we are doing another mask drive today at the Civic Center from 1 to 3, where you can drop stuff off. You know, with these fabric stores closing, I know Lindsay was at Walmart, you know, getting fabric the other day along with a how-to video. But we have a bigger need than ever. I mean, CDC is recommending that you don't go out with your, you know, face exposed. You need to be covered in some way in your nose and mouth. So, you know, those homemade masks are becoming a bigger deal right at the time when it's harder to get stuff.
Yeah, there's no, I mean, it went from like 48 hours to being full to empty. And you know, hopefully the supply chain will, you know, restock that, and we'll see. But, you know, you got to be able to, I mean, if you're telling the citizens to wear masks, they've got to have access to masks.
Well, they do. And, you know, it's even if it's kind of a bandana type thing wrapped around you, it's for everybody's protection. Again, we're still learning so much about this virus. There's so much more to learn and understand and how we fight it best. But I am very hopeful. I was talking with my counterpart in Springfield yesterday the hospital there, and she said, "Do you think we'll see a surge?" And I said, "Well, I hope if we do see a surge, it's not the kind of surge that they've seen other places, because we took steps earlier than they did to separate, to enact stay-at-home orders. Now, I will tell you, I've been frustrated by the number of cars I've seen on the streets. And yesterday was the first day I really noticed a decline in the amount of traffic. So I'm hoping that people are starting to really understand you need to stay at your house. You know, you go out for one necessary thing, or you send somebody, or you get some help, but you don't need to be out.
You're absolutely right. However, the concern I have right now is that there are still 3,451 people without power in Macon County right now. We have to empty our entire fridge and freezer. We lost everything last night. Our power was out for 7.5 hours. And so people are going to have to go out and have food. I mean,
Brian, you're right, but the whole family doesn't need to go.
No, you're right. But what I'm saying, though, is that I feel like last night there was a lack of information flowing about all of this stuff. It wasn't a tornado, but 150 poles were down through Logan, Macon, and Champaign County. People were without power. We're going to be talking to Dayetta Jones from Ameren, and they're doing everything they can to get that. My concern about the communication front is what happens if we have disastrous weather.
Well, and I got to tell you, that's something Chairman Greenfield and I were worried about from the minute we knew bad weather was coming. And as I sat in my family room watching these giant trees bend like they were toothpicks, and I thought, oh, no. You know, that the last thing we need is a tornado with a lot of people hurt, a lot of property damage, a lot of power out. You know, Ameren is really, really good at getting power restored. And while 150 poles is a lot of poles, and it's going to take a lot of effort, fortunately, we're not in an ice storm right now.
No,
and so the weather's going to help them get stuff done easier. They will do some amazing work today. But you're right. You know, we are in severe weather season for us for tornado activity, and the last thing we need is a major, you know, tornado event.
There's no doubt. And here's my only suggestion, and take it to whoever you want to take it to. But last night for 7.5 hours, we had no way of contacting the world the way the world exists right now. We had LTE service. There clearly were cell towers down. We could not access. We couldn't send an email. We couldn't send a text. So for these bureaucratic places that want to just share stuff on Facebook, you have the potential of not being able to reach people. We got to figure out a way, you know, and we have it. You can still find a radio signal. I think there's some assumptions about informing people because you have a Facebook page, and that isn't always available.
You're absolutely correct. And, you know, I think we've gotten, I don't want to say lazy, but we've gotten very dependent on technology and electricity. You know, we've got, you know, one of those NOAA weather radios. We probably have a couple of them around the house. But we put batteries in it because, you know, the electricity may not always work. It's a good reminder to keep your cell phones charged. Granted, your cell phone doesn't work if the tower's down.
Well, you can call probably. I mean, because they generally have enough juice to be able to do that. But I'm saying we had LTE service, so we could not pull up a Facebook page or an email or send a text. I just want to encourage everybody from the sheriff's department to everyone else, you know, sharing some information on your Facebook page may not be enough to get to the people right now, particularly during bad weather.
And that's a really good point. And, you know, it's one of those things we're going to have to work through. And it's, you know, as we've been in the midst of the trying to deal with everything else, it was like the last thing we needed was any kind of problem. And I don't think we've really talked about the communication system as far as what do you do when nobody has, you know, electricity and cell coverage.
Yeah, and it's just added to the list, right? I mean, it's like when it rains,
like,
it pours.
Usually if you have, you know, some major disaster, the disaster's over in a day and people come in to help pick up the pieces and get things fixed. Well, now the disaster is everywhere and we just keep finding more avenues for things to be, you know, problematic, such as the supply chain didn't used to be such a big deal. You know, you're big, if you had a blizzard coming, all right, you had a little bit of hoarding and people running to the store to get toilet paper and, you know, food to make it through, but it was only going to be a couple of days, and now we don't know.
Well, if there's any way I can be of service or our company can be of service in that communications plan, please let me know, and we are more than happy to stand up and be a part of that. In the meanwhile, for people who did lose a lot overnight last night, just, you know, as Mayor said, you don't need to take the whole family. Maybe designate one person for a couple of families. We can find ways, as inconvenient as it is, to still stay at home as much as possible. And just to help, because this super spreader stuff, this is terrifying to me. I mean, you don't want...
It really is. And, Brian, I think I got a big dose of reality every day this week, and I'm thinking, you know, I think of myself as not, you know, I'm not going to get sick. I don't know that. I have, you know, and I'm doing the best I can to, you know, wear a mask and stay away from people. And but it just takes one person to spread it to me, and that's true for everybody. None of us are invincible.
No,
none of us are superheroes and immune to this.
Right, and it's also, I mean, you have to be very careful. These people, it's not their fault. It's just because genetically they're able whatever to do. But you don't want to be this guy in Chicago that unwittingly infected 16 people and caused 3 deaths because you wanted to hug and go to things.
And I'm a hugger, and I was around somebody yesterday who went to do an elbow bump, and I thought, get away from me.
I know.
I love to hug people. Get away.
Yep. That's what we've got to do. All right. Hey, listen, keep up the great work and whatever we can do to help. I'm not, when we bring up these things, not trying to complain. I'm just trying to.
Yeah, no, you know, you and I need to take this offline later and talk about some options.
All right. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf, we appreciate you. Thank you very much. Doing a great job. You know, it is, to me last night, Nikki, it was just sort of an aha moment that we are very spoiled in our communication lines, and that can go away really easily.
Yeah.
I mean, this wasn't a tornado last night.
Nope.
This was a thunderstorm. And we were reduced to not being able to get access to anything in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And for a long time, 7.5 hours in this world we live in today is an eternity.
Yeah, it's changing by the minute sometimes.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.